Hi, I'm Sarah Kreinens, Extension Educator with University of Minnesota Extension and Project Lead for the Military Families Learning Network, MFLN, Family Transitions Team. Today I'm joined by Jolana Falkenstein, who is with the U.S. Army Reserve. She's a Sergeant First Class, and we're going to chat with her today about resiliency and her work with that, with our military service members and their families. Welcome, Jolana.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sarah. It's very much an honor to be a part of this today.
Great, great. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with the military?
Yes. Okay, so as you already stated, I'm a member of the Army Reserve. I have always been in the Army Reserves. I've been serving for 20 plus years.
Wow.
I don't feel old enough to even say that, but it's true. My body tells me that some days. So I'm a Sergeant First Class, and for those who don't understand military rank or anything like that, I'm on, kind of on a scale. They have scales of 1 to 9. I'm a 7 on the scale of 1 to 9. So I'm kind of up there a little bit in leadership in some ways. But let me tell you, the Army's big. There's many, many people above me in rank. And then two, just a little background for me. I've got 2 deployments to the Middle East, both a year long. So we're involved with leading soldiers in various capacities over there. And the Army trained me to do paperwork really well. That's my job, I guess, what they've trained me to do. However, my most recent, experience with the military is being able to use my civilian skills, my civilian training in the field of mental health, in working with the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. I've been doing that since 2008. That's a Congress-mandated program for the Guard and Reserve population who do deploy. It helps them and their families.
So tell us what that Yellow Ribbon event looks like, or it's multiple events, right?
Yes. Multiple events. Right now there's a pre-event, a pre-deployment event where service members and their families come and they get all kinds of information. It's almost kind of like drinking from a fire hydrant sometimes, I think, with what there is available for them to help the service members and the families. It's not just about the service member, it's about the family preparing for deployment, because they learned by experience. And I will tell you, my deployments came before Yellow Ribbon existed, and I can speak from experience that the Army did train us or try to prepare us, and yet it just didn't seem quite enough. And so they learned that and are using these programs to really help family members and service members get ready for deployment. So the pre-deployment, and then there's actually a during deployment event for the family members to come together and be together and get more additional resources. They learned that for many reserve and guard populations, they aren't near an active duty base, and they're very isolated compared to the active military population. And so bringing them together was really beneficial, because we definitely do well when we're in relationship with others, when we try to manage stress and all that. So they learned that was very helpful for families. So there's during deployment, and then there is a post-deployment event for service members and family members as well. They come to the post-deployment side, and it's designed to say, okay, this is what you've been through, and now here are some things to consider as you do what we call reintegration. So many times, life, our experiences, our challenges, our stressors, they change us. And it's really designed to help people recognize what those changes are. Some of them are great, are awesome, are strengths. And then some of them are like, oh, I think maybe you need some help with this here. And just really helping service members and their families recognize what those are. And then we have a wealth of resources at these events. It's a weekend-long event. I didn't explain that. A weekend-long event. And there's, 20, 30 more resources for them, ranging from education, employment, physical health, mental health, community resources that might be in these areas where these service members are. So it's really great. So I get to do that. I get to kind of do my dream job on the military side. And more specifically, I'm responsible for creating, implementing, presenting, and even updating a lot of programming topics that for the pre and the post events have, and then train other professionals. We will have a wealth of resources come, and there's mental health, there's financial resources, and even professional speakers that we bring in. So I work with them to help them understand kind of the culture, I guess is the best way to say it, of the military population and how they can best support and work with them. That's what I do on the Army side.
Definitely, and I've had an opportunity to see you in action at those Yellow Ribbon events, and they are just so amazing. And as you said, there's just so many resources for folks, service members and their family members, whether it's a spouse or a sibling, parents. It's my understanding that service members can bring whoever are their support folks, right? So,
yeah. whoever they deem as family. It doesn't have to be by blood or marriage or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and there's such great value in that because I think multiple ears are so helpful at times like that because folks hear different things and people pick up on different nuggets of information.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, and I appreciate, too, you talk about the reserve folks being geographically dispersed. And so events like this really provide a really nice opportunity for folks to come together and build relationships. Definitely those service members are drilling and working with their fellow service members, but those families don't always have an opportunity to connect. And even in this digital age, there's great value in bringing people together so those relationships can begin.
Definitely, yes. It's just wonderful for that purpose. Because you're right, they can be dispersed and really isolated in a lot of ways from other military support.
Definitely. So in addition to your work in the military, you are a licensed marriage and family therapist, and in your civilian job, I understand you also work on occasion with military service members, veterans, and their families. And so can you tell us a little bit about that work?
Sure. Yes, like you said, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I work for Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota. And with that, I do a gamut. I work with individuals, and I work with couples, and I work with families. I even do some premarital work, which is probably my favorite part of some of that, beyond the military population I get to work with. And in that, we have really a wonderful honor, privilege, opportunity to work with the military population, the veteran community in the state of Minnesota. We have a contract with the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. It's called CORE for any folks that are listening from Minnesota. And we have the ability to work with the veteran population and their families, their children, their spouses, sometimes parents if they're single service members, for free. And that can involve counseling, mental health counseling, financial counseling, which is a big deal. I mean, we understand how much financial strain and stress can actually impede just our overall well-being. And then also just the case management type work where if they're looking for some kind of resource, education or employment or financial, we can help connect them and do a warm handoff, not just go to this website, call this 1-888 number and you know push so many menu options where you finally get to talk to a live person. We really do a lot of that legwork for them. And I love that part of my job, being able to support that military population that we work with.
Well, that's so great. I think you really touched on it. So important for folks to go one place and you know the resources. So you take some of that mystery and frustration out of having folks need to figure out where do I go to get this or that or the other thing. And so you're able to provide that.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the program's name is CORE. What does that acronym stand for?
It stands for Case Management, Outreach, Referral, and Education. So, you know, I like to say CORE because it's not as fancy of an acronym, but that's what it is. So, yeah.
Right. And are there similar types of programs in other states across the nation that you're aware of?
I would love to say yes to that. As of right now, I am not aware of something like that. I know our lobbying folks for LSS have been lobbying. They've actually been all the way to our nation's capital, not just the state capital, to say, hey, this is what's going on here, and this is what we're doing. And so they're lobbying and trying. It hasn't that I know of. Now, if someone's listening and, like, knows of something in their state, oh, my gosh, please tell us. That would be great, but not that I know of right now.
Okay, great. And you and I both know about Military OneSource, so that's another service that's available across the nation for folks and oftentimes a nice one-stop place or to find out what's available locally, and they can oftentimes connect folks locally with resources. Right. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about transitions, and given your experience as a service member and your work as a family, marriage and family therapist, what are some of the transitions that you think cause the most challenges for military service members and their families?
That's a great question. So I think change in general for most of us, you know, military not, is tough, especially if our personalities aren't change oriented, like mine. It's just a challenge. And so, and I think it's much tougher when we're not part of some kind of community that can support us through those changes. And so I think when I think about the reserve and the guard population that I work a lot with, they're part of that. That's a challenge for them, is they don't have, like an active duty base often has, it's a one-stop shop, and everybody around that area gets the military, and they get the transitions, and they get the changes, not minimizing any way that they aren't challenging in themselves. It's just different. So I think that's one thing that can make it more challenging, is when they don't have a sense of community around them that gets it. Feeling isolated, feeling alone when we're going through change, I think most of us could agree that makes it harder.
Definitely.
But when we have someone that gets it, that is there alongside us, that really makes it a lot easier. So I'm kind of answering this twofold, I suppose, but that's what I would say is makes it challenging. I think the most challenging is those not having those connections.
Definitely. And again, those geographically dispersed guard and reserve folks who aren't located near a active duty base and trying to figure out who can support them and yep. just reaching out for help. And I think that really begs the need for community capacity building. So for communities to recognize that there are some needs and lift up what's currently available, to identify maybe what's needed and to work with others to see what might be able to be done with that.
Yeah,
definitely. What strategies or resources are you aware of could help service members, veterans, or families navigate the challenges, especially the dealing with change? What do you suggest for folks?
For the actual service member and their family, one thing that I would recommend for the service member is to really, and some service members, you know, we roll our eyes and we have to do all this training, annual training, like, oh my gosh, I gotta do this and this. It's like, oh, it's like beating a dead horse, they'll say, because it's just so repetitive or something. But when it comes to the resiliency training that a lot of folks, a lot of military, you know, members are going through right now, it's mandated. Yes, I know we don't always like that, but that resiliency training is, I think, is really, really good stuff. And so really paying attention to that and taking that and going, okay, check the block. Yes, I did the training. Now, how can I apply that to my life, everyday life? I think that's, so that resiliency piece, and then going, oh, wait a minute, you know what? My family, my support system, they don't get this. You know, and certainly don't get paid. So let me share this with my family. And honestly, sometimes when we teach things, that's one of the best ways to learn and to reinforce what was learned, is to teach it, to talk about it. And right. So to share that resiliency training, those nuggets of wonderful information with their family and their support system. And then two is reaching out to finding those other military families, military members that are in their community, and coming together and banding together and just saying, hey, we're on this journey together. Let's get to know one another. And maybe let's get to know one another before the deployment happens or that challenge happens. So we already have kind of a foundation of relationship. I think that's incredible. And then reaching out to those resources and not waiting till it hits the fan and then you're in crisis mode to reach out to those resources. Be aware of them and tap into them quickly. And you mentioned already like things like Military OneSource. And one caveat for people who aren't super familiar with Military OneSource, it is seriously a one-stop shop. It's incredible. You can just go to their website and look around. It's
definitely
so helpful, from financial, from education, from employment, from mental health, from family counseling, from, you know, support for children in this. Wonderful, wonderful. One thing to keep in mind is that is for people who are in the military currently. So if you are working with someone who's considered a veteran or no longer in the military, that's, so just keep that in mind, that there are, that is a resource for current military members. But then there's also other resources to tap into, like the County Veterans Service Office. Who is that in your county? Do you know what county you live in first? I hope that. But
yeah,
who is that in your county? Making that connection so you can go, hey, you know what? I've got a veteran I'm working with. And if you're following any kind of HIPAA guidelines, make sure you get a release. But check in with that, that what we call CVSO for short, and say, hey, what's out there? They should know above all people what resources are available. And I'm pretty sure every county in the nation, I mean, I hope every county, at least majority, have a representative. So it's building that relationship. Another resource is the VA. They have all kinds of resources. The Vet Center is another one. They're not directly connected to the VA, but they are kind of under the overall umbrella organization, I think, of the Department of Defense. So Vet Centers, and they're free for veterans and their family members, and they have a wealth of resources and information. So connecting with them. Also, building a connection with Given Hour. That's another one.
Tell me about that. I'm not so familiar with Given Hour.
Now, this is more along lines of therapy, mental health, you know, couples counseling, individual counseling for your kids. So Given Hour is a nationwide resource. I think it's givenhour.org, where therapists donate their time for the military population. It's pretty cool. It's wonderful. Because sometimes, you know what, money's tight. Resources, health insurance, not everybody just has health insurance, or certain things aren't necessarily covered by health insurance. And so these individuals will donate their time to that service member or their family and help them work through whatever it is that they need. More on the, like I said, mental health spectrum and behavioral health piece.
Great. So folks can just go to givenhour.org and I'm assuming click on their state or their location and identify a provider near them.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
I want to swing back to when you were talking about service members who participate in so much training in the military, resiliency, suicide prevention, you know, sexual assault, you name it, they're participating in training. I know when my husband was in the Guard, you know, he'd come home and say, yeah, we did this, and now we've got a son and a daughter and a son-in-law that are all serving in the Guard, and so I hear about the different training. But I so appreciate your recommendation and to encourage our service members to bring that information home and have those conversations with their loved ones and their family members. And that really makes me think as an educator that when we're providing, so for our military family service providers, when we're providing trainings like that, think about how you can make it easy for those service members to take that information home, whether it's a nice little handout or a challenge at the end on, you know, take these three nuggets home and have a conversation or an index card with those talking points so that it'll be easier. And if at the very least, the spouse might find it in a pocket as they're doing laundry or, you know, and say, well, what is this? You know, and to initiate those conversations.
Yes.
So I think that's so important. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, so with transitions, there's positives and there are negatives. And can you share some of the positives on the transitions? You know, what causes the most joy or happiness, you know, related to transitions for the service members and their loved ones?
I'm happily willing to share some of the positive aspects. Oh, happily. Well, and, you know, I think about that, and often when I educate different people in the community, that's one thing I really voice is we got to recognize that, yes, these challenges that service members and their families face are indeed difficult at times, and they can cause issues. They can cause hardships, some of them short-term, some of them long-term. And to not look at our military community, even if they have maybe a long-term struggle with something, to not look at them as if they're broken, to look at them as if this is one aspect of their life, and yet there's so much more about them, and there's so much more about what they've been through that they have strengths because of. You know, and I was thinking about, like, change and just thinking about different, you know, snazzy, catchy quotes and all that kind of stuff, and one thing that jumped up to me, and I she's an author, but she wrote, I think, so well, and I wanted to just take a minute to share that here. But when we talk about change, we talk about transitions and the positive aspects of it. But she says, the only way that we can live is if we grow. The only way that we can grow is if we change. The only way that we can change is if we learn. And the only way we can learn is if we are exposed. And the only way that we become exposed is if we throw ourselves out into the open. Do it. Throw yourself, she says. And the author is C. Joy Bell. Huh. And so I love that because we sometimes look at challenges in our life and we go, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to be awful. And the resiliency piece, you know, speaking of that again, is to recognize where are the positive parts of this. And so I look at, and I often talk to service members and their families, and I really highlight, I said, you have strengths and abilities and talents because of what you went through. You wouldn't have those if you didn't go through what you did. And so as professionals or community members, educators, whoever you are and you connect with the military population, is to recognize they have abilities and talents because of what they've been through. It's not just about the bad. It's not just about, oh, how poor you and how awful that was. It's like, wait, there's some really great things you got going on here because of that.
Really, and so reframing that and thinking about those challenges or experiences as opportunities, right?
Yes. That change, you know, change inevitably brings an incredible opportunity for growth. And, you know, I think about how I talk about even with my clients often. It's like, how did a diamond get to be what a diamond is? It didn't just sit in a beautiful open space and just magically transform. It went through some incredible things. And here it is, this beautiful, really solid, rock hard, hard to break piece of, you know, that we use as ornaments, but it's just incredible material.
Right.
Because of its hardship. So.
Definitely. Oh, well, thanks for sharing that. And I love that, the quotes that you shared as well. What resources do you think would be beneficial for the military family service professionals as they work with military service members and their families?
Well, I think, I mean, the military professionals that work with, again, know the nationwide resources, Military One Source, your vet centers that are in each state, the VA, the county veteran service offices, Given Hour. I mean, those are just wonderful resources that are, regardless of what state, there should be someone in your area. If you're really stumped, I think I go back to that county veteran service office. They're the ones that are embedded in the military. That's their sole job, is to work with the veteran population. So get to know them. Ask them what's out there. They can be a wonderful resource for you if you're looking for something. Connect these people too. And many of them are happy to talk to you about what's going on with the veteran community.
Right. And the experience I've had with the veteran service officers is, you know, they're great at sitting down with a cup of coffee and just chatting with people and really helping folks identify what is the real issue, what are the needs, because oftentimes someone might come in and not quite know what they need, and so that's so really important. Well, and I think, Jelena, we're both in Minnesota, and so I always like to brag just a little bit about our state, but our state has the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. Can you share just a little bit what you know about that and how communities in the state have stepped forward to help and support service members?
Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, this has been going on for well over 10 years now, this organization, and it started with the National Guard, and again, the deployments they were facing and service members, you know, soldiers coming back, their families, and really struggling with those challenges, transitions, and so they really wanted to support this population. So National Guard was, I have to say the Minnesota National Guard, I have to give them credit. They were really the large proponents of this starting. And that's actually where this, what I talked about, what I do for the Army Reserves, where this Congress-mandated program for all Reserve Guard population, all branches, where they have to do this program, it came from the Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, what they were doing. And what they wanted to do is help, and community people were coming up and going, hey, how can I help? What can I do? And how can I support? And so what happened is that grew a couple of things, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon communities, so cities can become this military-friendly place, and there's groups, there's actually specifications you have to go through to meet, be able to be considered a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community, and then there's a group, all volunteers, these people are volunteers, they're just wonderful. I've sat in on several meetings where they're like, how can we better support the military population? Some of them are veterans themselves, some aren't. And then also stemming from that was Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies, businesses going, you know what, we want to support you as a military population. We want to hire you. and also, you know what, when you go through your challenges and changes and all that, we want to support you through that. We don't want to just say, oh, good luck with all that, and then go about our business. We want to support you with that. And so you're these military-friendly companies that were born out of that. And it's just, it's an incredible organization. You can go to their website, and you can see all kinds of things that each community is doing, each business. There's resources there. I think our family assistance centers are, you can find information about them. They're also a wonderful resource that is supposed to support all of the military population. They're largely, I think, kind of funded by the Minnesota National Guard, but they're supposed to support all the military branches that are in the state of Minnesota for sure. So wonderful, wonderful organization.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing about our Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs. And I'm so excited and I'm just proud to be from the state, but that they have influenced the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs or the programming pre, during, and post-deployment for service members and families across the nation. I just wanted to plug in too, there are the Building Healthy Military Communities programs, and there's a pilot project happening now in a handful of states. So Florida, Indiana, Oklahoma, Maryland, Minnesota, Mississippi, and New Mexico, the Building Healthy Military Communities pilot, and they're really working to better understand and address those unique challenges faced by the geographically dispersed service members and their families, you know, and those challenges that may impact readiness, resiliency, and well-being. So there's some other really cool programs happening across the nation as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. From a community capacity building perspective, what can communities do to help support service members and their families through the multiple transitions?
Great question. As I was thinking about that, I think the first thing that jumped to mind for me was build relationships and rapport with your military population, be they active serving, be they veteran, build relationships with them. I think it starts there. You know, we can have programs and do this and do that, but I think really good support stems first from relationships. And relationships come from getting to know. And so taking the time to get to know your military community. And that could be, you know, whether you support military-friendly events. I mean, that's one big thing. I think of how I've seen a number of communities now transitioning. I love the 4th of July. I really like fireworks. It's just one example of where there are communities that are going, you know what, we're going to offer something that's an alternative to that because of the flashing and the booming and all that. They're recognizing that combat veterans are struggling with that and encouraging the community around them, hey, you know what, don't light those fireworks off in your neighborhood so quickly, especially if there's a military member there. So that's just one example of getting to know your military community, doing military-friendly events, schools, educators, learn who your military families are and celebrate them. And, you know, not just the parents, but really celebrate the kids because they are, I think, critical parts of the military community. And you know what? They don't get to volunteer. They're not the volunteers. You know, the adults are. I mean, the spouses, and many times, you know, they get to be the adults in this, and they know what they're signing up for, but the children don't. And so getting to know your kids and not just necessarily looking for ways to go, oh, what could be wrong? What are some challenges? Celebrate them and say, thank you so much for your service and thank you for what you do. I think that's just powerful. Let's see here. And neighbors, we are so busy. Life is so full, and I will be the first to admit it. Get out of your homes, get out of your lives a little bit, and get to know your community around you, especially if you want to support that military community. Get to know who they are. Spend time with them and do things with them. Again, support really starts with relationships. Sometimes, you know, people were in a place where we're willing to accept stranger help, and I think help, though, especially for the military community, goes so much farther when we actually know who you are. Professionals in this, continue to educate yourself. Continue to go to different training events. Read different resources and books out there to understand the military community and how you can better support them in whatever professional field you're in.
Those are excellent ideas, Jelena. As I was sitting here listening and jotting down some notes, it brought to mind a local place of worship in our community has a bulletin board where they have pictures of their service members, just as a thank you to service members and their families, but also to bring awareness to the other parishioners that, you know, we've got service members in our midst that may need some support, and maybe they're not deployed right now, but they're still doing weekend drill and annual training a couple weeks a year, and there's, you know, it's continuing. And then I think when we have deployments, there's a lot of visibility, but just the understanding that during those non-deployment times, there may also be opportunities to provide support.
Yes.
And the other thought as you were talking too was just getting involved in your communities. So non-military folks reaching out and finding out how they might contribute. But you also touched on, I think, that for military families to also get involved in their communities and to do some volunteering, and oftentimes, you know, to avoid the isolation and just to get engaged in their community. So it goes both directions there.
Definitely.
So many ideas.
Yes.
Well, we are winding down here, but do you have any additional thoughts, ideas, strategies, or things that you would be that you think would be helpful for the military family service professionals as they work with service members and their families?
An honor to work with the military population, the veterans, those that are, you know, still serving, the military families. We have an incredible community there of themselves, a culture that is just so incredible and has so many, again, I just want to highlight just the gifts that they have and the talents and abilities, and don't lose sight of that when you're working with someone, even if they're coming to you with issues and problems and concerns. Don't lose sight that they have some amazing strengths. And sometimes, you know what, when we're in the midst of crisis, we do lose sight of our abilities and our strengths. And so remind them of that. Celebrate that with them, and then step alongside them and help them. It's sometimes, you know, it's challenging as a military population. You know, we often are trained to be almost like superheroes in a sense. We have to be able to do what we do. We have to think that we can do anything, and nothing can stop us. Nothing can get us down. And yet, you know, there is a human side to us. Some of us have a hard time admitting that, but it's true. And recognizing that there are those pieces that are important to take care of, and it's okay to seek help for that. If anything, to enable them, to empower them to continue doing their superhero work that they're doing, whether it's the service member or the family, the adults, the spouses,
right,
or the kids, that it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes, it's an incredible journey for someone from that population to ask for help and to just recognize that was probably challenging for them, and then to say, hey, you know what, we're going to get you back out there with whatever you're doing. So
great. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Yes.
Jelena, or Sergeant First Class Falkenstein, thank you for your service with the military and to your family. I know you have a busy household with some little boys there.
Yes.
As well, and so you've lived the life of a service, now you're living the life of a service member, and while you're walking alongside and helping folks. So
yes,
thank you for helping us in this conversation today. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been wonderful.
This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense Award Number 2015-487702-4368.